All over. I was in, at 17, I was assistant of Capture Sovereignty. I was elected in the center. Let me tell you, a few powerful sponsors in the center were totally against it. They told Geshe-la, no way. He's such a bad representation of Sovereignty. He can't, he's just a kid. Look at the way he looks. Look at his hair, the way he dresses. I look like a freak. I admit it, you've seen my pictures. They said that to represent one of the greatest living dharmas of Tibet, dharma teachers of Tibet, that? Certainly we can do better. Yeah, and they said a couple of other nasty things about me too. They did. Mamie told me. When I heard, I was very hurt. I was very hurt. I almost cried, but I contained myself. But when I heard that, I pushed myself much, much more. I pushed myself much, much more when I heard that. I woke up early and I went to bed late. And I didn't know how to cook. I asked everybody that had time to show me how to cook, and I cooked. And sometimes I burned the food that I offered Sovereignty. And I learned and I couldn't talk to him directly in the beginning, and I got translators to find out what he likes, what's his schedule, what's his food, and I made it and I offered to him. And those many months, I didn't even get a chance to eat myself. There was no time. I'm not kidding you. I would work part-time in Photomat, and I work a part-time job because I was serving Sovereignty, and I came back in the afternoon. I was making about $500 a month to survive. That's it. My rental was 150 or 160, something like that. And a lot of times to get money from the committee or whatever for to reimburse and keep receipts and all that was very complicated for me. So I just chucked it. A lot of the stuff I bought, whatever I had extra. And I served Rinpoche in the center, and I cooked for Rinpoche, his entourage, and my Geshe-la and their guests. So I made 7 trays of food every single day for 6 months. 7 trays I prepared. Each tray would have food for Rinpoche's German students that were here, 2 German ladies, for Rinpoche, for Rinpoche's translator, the translator's uncle, 2 monks. I had to make food for Geshe-la himself. I had to make food for some other people. I forgot who it was, but I remember 7 trays every day was laid out in the kitchen, and I made 7 sets of eggs, 7 sets of toast, 7 sets of, some wanted coffee, some didn't want sugar. I had to prepare the sugar, everything for them because they're Rinpoche's entourage and I need to take care of them. And I serve Rinpoche up first. I get way up early in the morning and I go up and bring breakfast to Rinpoche first. Offer him the breakfast and I make 3 prostrations immediately. Why did I do that? Because I don't know how long I can be with him. And I didn't want to prostrate to a statue. I want to prostrate to a living Buddha. So I make 3 prostrations to him and offer him the breakfast, pour the tea, and I put his diabetic pill inside, the diabetic sugar for Kedja Sarumchi. And then I took my way, and then I went to my teacher, Geshe-la. I offered him breakfast, and I made sure everything was hot and all right. If sometimes one of the tray was not hot, I would heat it up very quickly. Then I go to the translator. Then I offer to the translator's uncle. Then I offer to Rinpoche's assistant. And then I offer to the 2 German ladies, and then I would do that every day. And then by the time I finish the last person, I'll go back up and wait by Rinpoche while I was eating. And then I would take his tray. If there's something left, I asked his permission and I would eat his leftover. I wanted his saliva. I wanted something he had bitten every day. So I would eat his leftovers, even the crumbs I would eat. Why? I believe in my Lama. Very much. And his cups and his plates I would wash first and clean it, and I would put it in the highest place in the kitchen. That's what I was taught by Geshe-la. Not mix it with other people's things. And I would not crack it and not damage it. And his spoon and his silverware, sometimes I'd wash twice. And I'd wipe it very carefully, very clean, so that none of his silverware were dirty, none of his silverware was sticky. Why? This is my opportunity to serve my guru. So I clean, and even his tray, I wiped it clean, everything, and I put it away. No one touches his items. I have a special place, and I put up a sign there just in case anybody makes a mistake. And then I would do that with Geshe-la's, take his leftovers. And I would do that with the translators and all their food, everyone's. If there was any leftover, I would take care of, give it to the dogs outside. And then I would feed the cat to the center. Then if I had time, I would clean up the kitchen, wash, put the trays away, put the dishes away, put everything away. It was like 2 loaves of bread a day. Everything I would put away, and then I'd go and take a shower quickly, and I'd get dressed and go either walk to work or take a bus to work if I was late. Then I work until about 2 or 3 o'clock, and I switch my job to a location that was very nearby because I didn't have a car. So then I would take a bus back or walk back. If I walk back, it's about 20, 25 minutes. If I take a bus back, it's literally 5 minutes because it's not too far. It's like from here to center, from here to the center, KH, from here to the center, distance of my work, something like that. But it was a straight line, straight, so I can walk it. And then I come home about 3 o'clock, I would start cooking dinner. Someone would take care of lunch because I had to work. So usually dinner, more than breakfast, dinner, someone would come and help. Not usually, once or twice a week, someone would come and help because people wanted to make Donna Tagrimichi in the entourage. So they helped me cook. So usually dinner, I had to learn how to cook at a stove. I had to learn, and I knew only a few dishes. And let me tell you, it was a challenge to cook for 7 people a day. I had to run to the store to do the shopping. Sometimes one of the students would do it for me. I would wash everything, prepare everything, cook everything. Sometimes I burned it. I had to do it over very quickly, very, very fast. It was very scary. I hated cooking. But Geshe-la wanted me to do it. And I would cook, make 7 trays again with the drinks. And Rimuji likes Tibetan tea, but there's a certain way that he likes it because I have to make it the way he likes it. The right amount of butter and all that. And then I would serve. Kenji Sarangji go upstairs often. I make 3 prostrations. And sometimes I have the luck to sit near him because I was not in such a big rush and massage his feet. I would do my best to massage his feet every day. I would go in, make 3 prostrations. No one told me I did this. I would go in, I make 3 prostrations, offer Rimuji the food, and I would kiss his feet because I read in a tantric manual, Indian based, to show the deepest respect to someone very high is to touch the lowest part of their body. So I would kiss Rimuji's feet. And Rimuji, after a while, made it a game. He would do this to me. And then he'd go like that. And then when I tried to grab it, he'd go like that, and he'd laugh. This grandmaster. And then when I grabbed it, I would put it on my head, and I would kiss it. Tibetans don't kiss. I did it because I'm from America. So it was my way to show my reverence to him because I couldn't talk. I don't speak his language. So I would take his feet, put it on my head, and then I would kiss it, and then I would offer his food, and I'd go off every day, almost every day. And then I would be very aware below his seat if any of his goatee had fell off. If any of his goatee fell off, I would grab it. One single pore is more merit to make offerings to than the whole merit field. One single pore of our guru's body is more of a merit field to make offerings to than the whole lineage of Buddhas. I read that in Lama Cheva, and I believed it. So I couldn't get his pore, so I got one hair from that pore. What's the difference? So I collected all his hairs, and I would show him. I would do this. He would do like that. I have to get his permission. I can't just go to steal it. So a lot of the hair I collected is in here. A lot. No one taught me. I wanted Dharma. I ran away from home to learn Dharma, to serve a guru. I ran away from home. I hitchhiked from New Jersey to New York, from New York to California 3 times. The 3rd time I was successful to learn the Dharma. So when I came across such a great master, such a teacher, I am not going to lose my chance. That's what I thought. No way. Then after I served everybody their dinner, I would clean up. Sometimes Rimuji had food left. Sometimes he didn't. If he didn't have food left, and sometimes I was a little smart, I made more, so I made sure there was leftovers. Sometimes Rimuji foiled me because he was very hungry. He ate more, so I'd have his leftovers. If I didn't, it's okay. And then after serving Rimuji dinner, because it took 3 to 4 hours to cook and serve everybody and clean, then would be Dharma teachings. Dharma teachings inevitably start around 7:30. Between 6 to 7:30, depends on weekend or weekday. And the Dharma teachings would finish around 12 midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., every day for 6 months in Los Angeles, Tubton Darjeeling Center. And the place was packed. And so after I served Rimuji, I would have to clean up the kitchen. And I run upstairs and make sure everything in Rimuji's room was all right. And if Rimuji has audience or people coming to meet him, I vacuumed his room. And I would make sure everything's clean, everything's in order. I would go downstairs and run to them and say, oh, a few minutes. And I would confer with Rimuji's assistant. Is it okay? They say, okay. Then I would assist the person in and make sure. I don't wait for Rimuji to come out and say, hey, you can come in now. Never. I make sure of that. And then when they walk upstairs and they go inside Rimuji's room, they have audience. I would stay nearby quietly. If I was allowed in because it was not private, I would sit nearby. Why? In case Rimuji needed anything. How did we speak? He would point out things. I would make sure. I would never let Rimuji be without anyone. Never. I would be nearby, alert as possible, to make sure everything was there for him. And after his interviews, his divinations or whatever, then I would assist him downstairs. Carry incense or whatever. Carry his hat. and make sure he sits on the throne. When he sits on the throne, I don't leave him. I help him on the throne. I fix his robe. I make sure everything's straightened. Even before he sits out, I make sure everything's straightened. I walk up there. And I was very young that time. And people were amazed that Rinpoche would let me come so close and that I knew so much. Even his main assistant sat by and watched because they knew how much pleasure I derived from this. And then I would sit for Dharma teachings. I had notebooks and notebooks of notes that I wrote down that were very useful now that I wrote. Geshe-la would be in the front. There would be a translator and I would write notes. And in between teachings, if Rinpoche needed anything, his thermos would always be filled with whatever he needed. I would make sure of it. And if the teachings were exceptionally long, after they were finished, Rinpoche would go upstairs. I would assist him upstairs. If I had to help the Dharma students explain or talk about some questions or answer something, I would do so. If Geshe-la needed something, I would do so. If not, I would go upstairs and give Rinpoche a massage. Usually, if I can nightly, I'll give Rinpoche a massage. Once in a blue room, Rinpoche has a headache, so I have the honor to touch his head. I'll wash my hands, purify it with incense, and I'll make three prostrations, and I'll massage his head. Why? Whether I'm clean or not clean doesn't affect Rinpoche, but it affects me, my awareness. To be conscientious about what I'm doing and what I'm serving and who I'm serving. To be conscientious. Why? I want attainments. So I would massage Rinpoche's head very gently. I make sure my nails are cut. I don't puncture. I'll be very careful and very aware because I'm touching my guru's head. My guru, the one who confers on me Dharma. And then I would massage his back. And usually when he's doing his sadhana, I would have the honor to massage his feet. And I would never want to stop. Never. I massaged until he said to stop. And I wouldn't sit there and just, I would do every part. I would do as best as I can, make sure he's comfortable. And I would observe his face to make sure that I'm not creating pain for him. If I went like that, and sometimes he'd go like that, then I know that's not good. I would observe. Why? It's my guru. It is my guru. That's why I left my home. That's why I left college. I mean, going to school to learn Dharma. This is what I did. You can confer with anybody from Thubten Jajini who was there when I was there. You can ask Mamie if you ever interview her. Am I serious? And in the presence of my Rinpoche, I never slouched. Because that's what it says in the 50 verses of Guru Devotion. And I know why now. It's to create awareness. If I don't slouch in front of anybody, it's good manners, isn't it? In front of my Lama, he's teaching me good manners. So that when I go out into the world, I can be more effective in whatever I want to do with people. I never slouched in front of my teacher. I never farted. I never burped. If I coughed, I covered myself. That's what it says. I didn't scratch myself. I didn't twist my body around. I didn't massage myself. I didn't crack my knuckles, because that's what it says in 50 verses, not to do that in front of our teacher. And the reasons why? Because we're going to go to hell if we do that? No. Awareness. Manners. Awareness and manners. If we can't do that in front of our Dharma teacher, who can we do that in front? And that's the whole purpose of having a Dharma teacher, is to bring that awareness to the forefront. I will be very aware of that. Very aware. And I will never forget those days. I never look back on those days as work. I have never regretted or felt tired or didn't want to do it. Never. Not even once in my life for the last 20 years. Oh my God, it was so much work. I almost died. I don't even remember being in pain or being sick. I didn't go out to any clubs or meet any of my non-Dharma friends or do anything in that 1 year. And the 1 year just passed like that. And I was in mortal fear that Rinpoche would leave. Mortal fear. And I couldn't think even of the day he was leaving. He taught me the Dharma. His lineage was pure. He conferred on me the highest initiations. He gave my Dharma protective practices. All the paths of Dharma from Lamrim to the highest, he conferred upon me. He scolded me. He shouted me. He gave me so much love that what I'm doing today is his kindness, is totally his kindness. He is the only person that I miss every single day. I don't have much attachment to people. The retreats that I'm able to do, the little bit of improvement all stem from him. I will never, ever give up my vows and my commitments and the promises I've made to my Rukuru. Never. Even at the cost of my life. One big reason that I teach Dharma today is because of Rinpoche and the promise I've made to him. If I break my promise to Rinpoche, then there is no more Buddhas for me. Buddhas don't exist. Why? If I can't commit to the person who has taught me the Dharma and has shown me so much kindness, who can I commit to? A wife? A husband? A friend? A business partner? What's the long-term benefit of that? I'm committed to my Lama. I have an attachment for him because I've not met anyone like that. I'm committed to my Lama because he's given me the highest empowerments and I know their benefits and I know how important they are and how rare they are. And it's to get it from such a master, incredible. I wish so much I can learn more from him and be near him and serve him. I wish so much. I wouldn't mind being his servant for the rest of my life. To travel with him and to be a servant quietly, to sit on the floor and near him so he can teach the Dharma. What's the difference if he teaches or I teach, as long as the Dharma is taught? So if I can help someone teach the Dharma, why not? Incredible.